All right, here we go. Season 2, episode 17. This is the 43rd consecutive weekly installment of Menace Podman, your NBA and fantasy basketball podcast. As always, I'm Scott Keller, along with Steve St. Pierre. Yeah, it's been a long week. We got a lot of stuff. You ready to go?
It's been fun, man. It's been fun. It's been nice to get back into my routine of watching highlights and checking box scores, having basketball back. It's nothing better.
No, it's fun. I can't wait to start making some same game parlay bets too on some real regular season basketball.
There you go.
But yeah, so first off, I just a couple programming notes, I guess. Coming in the next few weeks, possibly we got a new affiliate partnership coming up. Obviously, we'll let you know about that, and you'll hear about that, and hopefully some new cool reads.
Yeah.
And then we also got a possible opportunity to just get us into some more ears and extend our reach, share a love of basketball with everybody, you know, across the country, across the world. So we're excited for that. So just stay tuned. We should have an announcement coming up here in the next couple of weeks.
Should be fun.
Yep. And then, I guess just a little preview of what's on tap for this week. Obviously, as we mentioned, NBA preseason is finally here. So we'll discuss, some of our thoughts and reactions from the early games we've seen over the last week. Steve's always got his news and notes.
We got him.
Yeah, you know, we got a few impressions, maybe on the WNBA finals, kind of reflect on the latest WNBA announcement from last week. Also, there was some GM survey results. I was going to just power through real quick and see if there was anything interesting in there that we want to touch on. And then lastly, this week, we will be revealing our own personal top 60 rankings for the fantasy season. So we got that. And then also just looking forward into next week, we plan on having Mock Draft 2.0.
I want to
But anyways.
Very fitting.
Yeah. Anyways, we'll get started with some first things.
Name on your paper, first thing.
So, if you've listened to us in the past, and I'm sure a lot of you have, we like to start the show off with, little news, have a little social impact kind of stuff in here. Always, yes, usually makes us feel good, makes everybody else feel good. Some of it kind of doesn't, but find a way to spin it around. But today we got some good news, some bad news. But yeah, I don't know if anybody out there wants us to just stick to basketball. Sorry, I like to, kind of relate some stuff to basketball. You know, there's more to life than just basketball. So
exactly.
Anyways,
we talk enough basketball.
Exactly. Yeah. So we get a little bit of everybody.
You'll get your basketball fixed. Don't worry.
Exactly. So as I mentioned in the past, I look at our show analytics all the time, and one of my favorite things, I always share it with you too, is when we hit like another country and somebody streams or downloads us in another country.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just because it's cool that somebody's listening to us somewhere else, or just, I don't know, out of the four major sports here, in the US, NBA seems to definitely have the biggest, footprint internationally. So it's kind of cool that people are listening to us all over the world. But, this week, we had a listener in country number 16, finally. Pretty cool, but interesting enough, country number 16 is Israel.
Yeah.
So it was very interesting timing with that occurring. And the most recent developments over there, crazy, extremely heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. Our thoughts and prayers are with everybody over there. Whatever opinions you have on what everybody is doing, it's just crazy. Hopefully the conflict is as short-lived as it possibly can. I wish it would stop right now as I'm doing this.
Exactly.
But yeah, boggles my mind. But Kyrie, I think he put it very well. He put out a little tweet or post here on X. He just said, my heart mourns for all the innocent lives lost in the crossfires of war.
Exactly.
God never intended for humanity to destroy one another. And I don't think there's anything more needs to be said, but that's pretty much all my thoughts in one little small thing. So,
yeah, same.
So, yeah, if that listener in Israel listens to us again, hopefully you're doing okay. But yeah, no thoughts with that. I thought that was interesting timing with that. But
dude, I don't know if this is the case, but if there's anybody out there that's listening to our podcast as like an escape from either something like that or anything else in their personal life, you know, we're here for you. And you know, if that's something that we're doing with our podcast, that couldn't make me any prouder. And I hope that that's the case, you know, because we all need something in our life, you know, that like kind of escape. And, if that's something that we can help provide, I think I speak for both of us. We're very happy to do that.
Very much so. Very much so. All right. Moving on to the first thing. I came across this, I think it was the Washington Wizards Twitter account or X account. They put out a tweet, and they basically, what they have is they have this, their campaign this year is called For the District. So basically throughout the season, the Wizards are recognizing and honoring organizations, individuals, basically bring pride to the district. So one of those people is Pat Bien. He's actually a former college basketball player. He's dedicated his whole life is basically around basketball in one way or another. He's been coaching high school, boys basketball. He just finished his sixth year, I believe, as the head boys basketball coach at St. John's College High School in Washington, D.C., and they actually won a tournament championship.
Nice. But,
so he's got a record there, 127-51 over six seasons. He's got 26 players, went on to college programs. Pretty awesome, but he was, in May 2022, was actually diagnosed with ALS. So he's been fighting through that. He doesn't coach anymore, but he's, you know, stays in contact with, you know, some kids and things like that. So basically the Washington Wizards are honoring him with a being strong. They're wearing these warm-up shirts on January 20th versus the San Antonio Spurs. And then those warm-up shirts or shooting shirts or whatever you want to call them are being auctioned off to benefit I Am ALS. So pretty cool, awesome stuff that Wizards are doing, and definitely honoring him. And yeah, I don't have much to say else about that other than, you know, stay strong. The guy's a super awesome inspiration. He's got all these videos out there of you know, him coaching and just him talking, and yeah, no, so
it's a classy move.
Stay strong. Yep. And then what was one of the last things I had here is first things. The Miami Heat. They do this every year, but they it's a red, white, and pink game. So I think it's the first home preseason on game every year. I'm not exactly sure, but basically they escort out cancer survivors onto the court as like the, you know, at the beginning of the game and whatnot. Yeah. So yeah, our cancer survivors and physicians from the Miami Cancer Institute. So cool thing they do. Just had a shout out to them. I love my Miami Heat culture.
Yeah, that's really cool.
But so yeah, that's, I could go on. I actually found tons of first things that could be used this week, but I had to narrow it down to the top three. Those were then. So I think we should move on to that basketball stuff like everybody might want with your news and notes.
Sounds good. We touched last week on Daniel Gafford. He had an elbow injury. He was supposed to miss several weeks, but he came back and played yesterday, October 10th. Had an awesome line. Looked fantastic. He had 15 points, 8 rebounds, 5 blocks, and a steal. He was 5 of 6 from the field. So looked like his usual self, and he's a guy that, you know, he's going to be starting, and he doesn't have Porzingis next to him now, so he's presumably going to have more usage, more touches offensively. I really like him, and if he's healthy,
I gotta go back. There's an episode, I think you were off for a week because you were on vacation, and then you came back and you're like, I'm back, baby, I'm back.
We're back.
Yeah, I need to get that and use that for whenever somebody returns. That'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I can even re-record it. We'll talk.
Exactly.
it was a great comeback, and that's awesome because, you know, that was something where, you know, we were hoping that injury wouldn't linger. You know, if he misses preseason or whatever, it's not a huge deal as long as he's healthy for the regular season. Well, he looks fine. I mean, hopefully he doesn't have any setbacks, but yeah, if he puts up numbers like that, he's an absolute steal for where he's currently being drafted. You know, we'll get into the mock draft stuff more next week, but you know, we'll get into ADPs and stuff like that. But yeah, I really like Gafford. I really like a lot of those guys in Washington. We've talked all about how they're going to be rebuilding and stuff. So he's in a good spot. If he's healthy, he should be able to put up lines like that fairly often.
It was a perfect segue from Washington and the first things into more Washington news.
There you go. Nice. DC. Very it's nice. All about the district.
Exactly.
It's also about the shot blocking.
Man.
You're blocking the crosswalk.
Way to be ready for that one. Good that job, tough. Partner.
That one just happened to be right.
Put you on the spot.
Right where I needed it.
Yep. But also, speaking of segues, the next guy I want to talk about is Jarrett Allen. And unfortunately, this is bad news here. He has a bruised left ankle. He's going to be out at least 2 weeks. So my guess is he probably sits out all of preseason and hopefully is ready to go beginning of the regular season. You know, we'll have to see. You know, in the meantime, Cleveland's just going to keep throwing different lineups out there. They're going to go small. They're going to play a lot of different guys. But I think he'll be fine. I don't think it's anything to really panic about in terms of fantasy. I wouldn't bump him down or anything like that. Just be mindful that, you know, he might start off a little bit slower. If he still has any kind of lingering issue with his ankle or anything else, but definitely.
Yeah, it's actually interesting. Actually, again, a precursor, but I have some thoughts on him actually in my pre-rankings coming up later in the show too. So,
all right, stay tuned.
Yeah.
Chris Middleton, we've talked a little bit about him. He's had some injuries and stuff, but he is expected to be ready to go for opening night. So I think they're just going to kind of take it easy with him during preseason. In fact, the Bucks are taking it easy with everybody. If you look at their injury report, you know, pretty much all their starters are listed as day-to-day right now. So we're not going to get into the day-to-days. I told you this off the air, but there's just so many that there's no point in listing everybody. Pretty much the whole league is day-to-day. You know, everybody in preseason, they take time off. You know, teams want to look at guys that they're trying to figure out, you know, are they going to be part of the rotation? Are they going to be part of the roster? So those are the guys that they really want to look at right now. Brandon Clark with the Grizzlies, he has his Achilles injury, and they said he unfortunately is not going to be ready for the start of the NBA season. So, you know, we've talked all about Memphis and about how, you know, they're going to need JJJ, Jaren Jackson Jr. to be 100%. And stay 100%. They're going to need Steven Adams.
That's the one.
Michigan State's finest. They're going to need Steven Adams, who is back. They're going to need him to stay healthy. They're going to need these guys because, you know, we've talked all about the Ja Morant situation, and we've talked about their lack of depth as far as, like, you know, bigs go. And, yeah, they're going to need all the help they can get. So that Clark injury is a tough one. Hopefully he doesn't have to miss too much time once the season begins, but, you know, we'll have to keep an eye on that. Corey Joseph.
I was going to say it was a tough injury last year, though, too, because wasn't he injured, but then he went out and then never really returned?
Exactly. JJJ was out, too, so a lot of people at the beginning of the year were high on Clark.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, I think you and I both were, too.
Yeah, I think I even drafted him.
Yeah.
Right now, he'd be undraftable in my mind.
Exactly. So it just, you know, it just didn't pan out. But in real life, they're going to need all those guys. So.
Damn.
Corey Joseph, we talked about how he is in training camp with the Golden State Warriors. He has a lower back strain and he's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks. So, that sucks. You know, we already talked about how they lost Draymond Green for a couple of weeks here. So already, man, that's going to be the story of the year for Golden State is, you know, just keeping these guys healthy. They're all older, but they're going for it. But if they keep having injuries and stuff, it's going to be a potential rebuild that's inevitable for that team. But we'll see, you know, hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully those guys can all get healthy and stay healthy and make one more good, solid run here.
Yeah, they seem like a team will, you know, at least make a play in at the least, right? So, I mean, you know, they're going to hang around.
So. Yeah, you would hope so with that kind of roster and that kind of star power.
Exactly.
The Pistons' own Isaiah Livers has a left ankle sprain. Sounds like a really bad sprain. He's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. So that sucks. We talked about how he's been pushed a lot further down the rotation this year, assuming that everybody else on the team is healthy and good to go. It wasn't looking like Livers was going to have an easy time cracking the rotation. Now he obviously definitely won't. But hopefully this is time for him to just kind of rehab and, you know, just get a chance to get acquainted with like the new players and the new coaching staff. But he's a guy that like has shown signs of, you know, a lot of promise, and he's a guy that the Pistons, you know, truly value. So, you know, here's to hoping that he can get healthy and work his way into the rotation and get some valuable minutes. Cause you know, he's a young guy, and this is a young team, and this is a chance for him to, you know, grow and develop on the court. So he needs to get out there and get that time.
I had read something about, cause Jaden Ivey had come off the bench, and I had read something about people saying that, you know, Monty Williams was maybe going to mix some lineups to have some veterans on the, you know, on the bench and or come off, you know, the second unit type thing. And, so yeah, maybe there's opportunities for different guys within
different spots.
So
yeah, there's absolutely opportunities for a lot of those guys. We talked about All-Star Thompson of the Thompson Twins.
Whoa, hold me now.
He started in game one of preseason, and you know, we talked about how I didn't personally think he would begin the season as a starter. I'm starting to rethink that. He looked fantastic again. And he, you know, we talked all about in the summer how good he looked, and yeah, he can play.
Yeah.
And everybody's high on him. And yeah, I think there's a real good chance that he winds up starting in the backcourt with Cade. You know, we'll have to see. I mean, Ivy's still a very valuable young player who needs time out there. You know, we talked all about how he and Cade Cunningham need to be on the court together and build that chemistry and that camaraderie. But yeah, Thompson's in that same group, and yeah, they're going to have to play these guys. So
again, I was going to say, I'm kind of the mindset that whoever even starts though, probably split the time almost evenly anyway.
Split time.
Even if they came at the bench.
Yeah. And like we've been saying too, maybe this gives them more incentive to make some trades and get some of these veteran guys like Bogdanovich and Joe Harris, guys like that, out of the way so that these young guys could play even more, you know, but at the same time, it's tough because Pistons have been playing young guys the last couple of years, and obviously they've taken their share of L's, and you know, they're trying to change that. You know, we've got brand new coach, highest paid coach of all time. You know, they want to start winning some games and, you know, building on their future. So we'll have to see how it plays out. The last bit of news that I wanted to mention was just Marcus Morris with the Clippers. He's day-to-day right now. He has a groin injury, but he is involved in a lot of trade rumors and has been all summer. He was part of the deal that would have sent Malcolm Brogdon, to the Clippers. Morris would have gone to Boston. And that trade, like we said, fell through. And he's since been in a lot of other rumors and stuff. We don't know if he's going to stay with the Clippers. And if so, is he going to stay in the starting five? He started pretty much all of last year for the Clippers, but this year they're saying it's wide open. And their game last night, Robert Covington got the start, and he looked fantastic, had a great line, and definitely excites me in fantasy. He's a guy that we've talked about in the past. He's fantastic for nine cat, just does a little bit of everything. He's always been a really good defensive player. But he can also score. We've talked about how he's gone nuts and hit a bunch of threes. He's a very streaky shooter. You know, when he's missing, you know, it can seem like for days and days, he'll just, you know, keep missing shots. But then when he gets hot, he goes off. He has heaters, you know, where he'll get like 6-7 triples in a game. And that's when you love to have him on your team. So he's a guy, you know, when we get into rankings and stuff, I don't have him ranked too high, but he's definitely very much a part of my rankings this year and definitely a guy that I like looking at late round. And if he starts, man, oh man, sky's the limit.
That'd be amazing. I love me Let's some Roko too.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, they didn't utilize him enough last year. And I think, you know, if they're going to keep him, they should play him. And he'd be a great fit in that starting lineup next to Kawhi and Paul George. You know, it makes sense.
Yeah, Clippers are one of those teams that who knows what the hell they're going to do, what's going to happen with them. But
total wild card.
Exactly. All right. So that was the last one, right? I'm sorry.
Last one.
All right.
That's all I got, my brother.
Just making sure there. All right. I'm going to skip over real quick to WNBA and then we'll head back to some NBA. There's not much here on WNBA to discuss because there's actually only one game of the WNBA finals. Las Vegas leads 1-0. They played last Sunday, October 8th. Las Vegas pretty much won that game pretty handily.
Yeah, they did.
I don't think it was that much in question at all. Doing everything that I thought they would. I guess just, yeah, quick review. It's the start. It's everything you would imagine with the Liberty and Aces. It's all the starters doing their thing. And there's usually one person off the bench that's making some noise. And even though New York lost this game, I just got a shout out to Maureen Johannes. She was phenomenal in that game and really held them in there kind of in the early going. She was 4-for-7 from three, which is 57.1%. Yeah. And she was shooting, she had 14, ended with 14 points there, but she was just shooting like crazy threes. I've never seen it. I don't know if anybody watched that or saw the highlights, but she's like shooting off one leg and just like fading away from the basket and all this stuff. It was some crazy shooting display by her, which is something that's not new though. Not that I knew a little bit about her from watching the Liberty, but I actually, after the last game, I went back and watched some highlights of her like overseas and stuff. And she's been doing this for a long time. So she's one of those people that could be a starter most likely on any other team. So.
And they needed her scoring because Ionescu had a really bad game. And yeah, obviously they still lost. So they're going to need more from some of their other players. But yeah, that was an awesome performance.
Yeah, you nail that on the head. Ionescu's one that's got to step up. She does that, then game's a lot closer, and the whole series will stay closer. But we'll see. She was one, you know, I kind of called out in the before the season started when we were doing our fantasy drafts and stuff. I just kind of saw, you know, Brianna taking over and Jonquel Jones and Banajalini and stuff. So she's lost in the mix a little bit, but she'll step it up. She's a gamer. So, what was I going to say?
The Aces looked fantastic, like you said. They all did their part. They didn't really get much off their bench, but their starters, like you said, just took care of business.
They got their four starters that do everything. And even Kia Stokes does stuff. It doesn't show up on the stat sheet, but she's all over and very important part to that starting lineup as well. So,
plus 21 in terms of plus minus. So obviously,
when you're just
21 minutes too. So
when you're playing with Asia and Jackie and Kelsey and Chelsea, you know,
it helps.
It's going to happen. Yeah, a little bit, but look forward. Wednesday, October 11th is game two. Looking at game three. These games are a little spread out though here. So that's kind of annoying. It gets me out of the groove a little bit. Kind of stinks, but at the same time, I just want to watch preseason NBA right now. So it's okay. Yep. game three on Sunday, the 15th, game four, Wednesday, October 18th, if necessary. And then Friday, October 20th would be game five. Let's hope there's a game five on Friday, October 20th.
I hope
That'd
so.
Be awesome.
Yeah.
Would be sweet, man. I forgot to use my cool thing. I'm going to do it here. So that's the end of the WNBA update.
Here's the update.
Better late than never.
I know. I that's one of my favorite drops, so I gotta make sure I don't lose it.
Yeah, mine too. But then again, she's been talking and singing in the background, so you've probably heard enough of her anyway.
Yeah, you can never get enough. All right.
Yeah, that's true.
So where else we got here? We're at 24 minutes. So yeah, I was talking about some the GM survey. That's what I wanted to look at real quick. So yeah, every year that GM survey comes out, I don't know how realistic and who actually takes this thing and how many people respond. I have no idea, but they send out 50 questions to the GMs, just random questions about best teams, players, coaches, offseason mm-hmm. moves, all that random stuff. And then they take a percentage. So the percentages are based on the pool of respondents that responded. So it, who knows? It could be.
Yeah, not everybody responded. So
exactly. But it still gives you some idea of some interesting things, I guess, that people
what
are
they're
talking
thinking.
About. Exactly. So I think the most interesting ones, some of them aren't surprising at all. Obviously, they asked which team will win the 2024 NBA Finals. I think that's a weird question to ask GMs, because I would assume they'd probably pick their own team if they've put anything together that's competitive. but obviously, Boston and Denver were the top. Well, I shouldn't say obviously. Boston and Denver were the top two at 33% of the responders saying they would win the NBA Finals. Obviously, Boston. And the survey came out after the Dame trade and everything. So this is the teams we have now, kind of you know, what we're expecting. Jrue Holiday mm-hmm. in Boston, all that stuff. So I think a lot of people are still high on Denver and think they, you know, have chances to repeat. I'm going to be one of those guys that's still a little down on them, and they're going to prove me wrong probably. But
yeah, I am too. I mean, obviously the players that they have are fantastic, you know, but they lost depth and, you know, didn't really replace it. They're going to kind of just hope for some growth and development from the guys that they've had previously. Just, you know, we've talked about Christian Brown and guys like that kind of stepping into higher roles. I don't know though, man. The West is so good. It's so deep. There's just so much talent out there. It's going to be tough. But we'll see, you know, we'll see. And we always say too, injuries play a huge role. You know, they're going to need a healthy Jokic, a healthy Murray. If one of those two guys goes down, I don't think they stand a chance.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree with you completely. And they got to have some of those guys step up, like the Christian Browns of the world, step up, get that, you know, like my sixth man of the year long shot. That's who I want. But yeah. he's got to fill some shoes too and contribute. But other teams on the list that people thought would win the finals, Milwaukee was at 23%, Phoenix at 7%, mm-hmm. Clippers at 3%. I can't believe they're on there, but obviously that's probably just Clippers ownership.
So well, I mean, they've got a good team if they're all healthy.
Yeah, we say that every year, though.
Say it every year.
And I guess now I'm probably hurt because I picked them to go to the finals early last year. So
yep.
I'm just like, it must be tough to be a Clippers fan. That's all I know. But but yeah, there were interesting things as far as the conference rankings, too, which is almost exactly how I expected to go, minus, you know, a little bit of Cleveland action here. But if you take they basically rank every team in the Eastern Conference, Western Conference as well. So overall consensus is Boston, Milwaukee, Cleveland, Philly, New York, Miami, and Atlanta. Those would be the top seven teams in the East. So it's kind of interesting there.
Yeah.
As far as the West is concerned, consensus has Denver number one, then Phoenix, LA, Lakers, Golden State, Clippers. Here's the head scratchers here. Memphis at 6, New Orleans at 7, tied with Sacramento, and then Dallas and OKC at 10, which might be under for me.
Yeah, I was going to say that West list is way different than what you and I predicted, but, you know, we'll see how it plays out. I mean, you can make arguments for a lot of those teams, and again, it comes down to which ones do you think are going to stay healthy. You know, we could talk all day about how good Memphis could be if they had all their parts. We talked about the Pelicans all summer, and we'll continue to talk about that team because they're another one. Like, if they're all healthy, if they all go out there and play together, I mean, the sky's the limit for them. But, you know, do we think that they're going to be that good and that healthy as of right now? Not really, but, you know, we'll have to see.
Yeah.
We'll find out here real soon. Season starting.
Yeah. What's interesting, too, is how you can take these – you can probably just take these results with a grain of salt. Milwaukee Bucks were 43% consensus to win the NBA championship, but that was before, you know, when Giannis was healthy and things like that. So
yeah, they lost in the first round after having an awesome regular season. So that's the other factor too, is, you know, somebody could be really good all year, but then, you know, just get a bad matchup or sustain an injury, anything, you know. And on the flip side, a team that's, you know, like a 7-8 seed could get hot, you know, and click at the right time.
Exactly.
And sometimes that's all it takes.
Yeah, a few other interesting things in here. They said who would win the MVP. Guess who? Nikola Jokic, 43% of the votes.
Makes sense.
And then Giannis 20%, Tatum 13%, and Luka 10%. But Joel Embiid won an MVP last year, and nobody apparently thinks he has a chance of winning it this year. So we'll see how that works. Who had the best offseason? Bucks and Celtics, 23%. And then Portland came in at third with 17%. I think we probably
best.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I was gonna say Milwaukee, Boston, I think we expect what exactly happened. Portland, you know, they made good trades. I don't think that means they had the best offseason. I think they
exactly.
made the worst offseason.
Yeah, for the situation that they're in, they came out fairly well. And we said they're not done yet. I still think they're gonna move Brogdon at some point. They did come out this week and say that they plan on keeping him for a little bit. And he said that he wants to be there. He's, you know, he's happy to be a Blazer, but
yeah,
I don't know, man. If I'm them, I'm shopping him because he has a ton of value. They can get even more picks and assets for him. And on the flip side, it would give him a chance to get back with a competitor and, you know, be able to compete for something, but we'll see. Yeah.
I think those results are kind of like saying, like, let's say I got fired this summer and they're like, who had the best summer? Well, Scott did because he wasn't working, but guess what? I also wasn't making any money, so yeah. I can't pay the bills. But
that's a great way to look at it.
But yeah, so that's kind of weird. But after that, I think those are the teams that I look at. And after that, they have the Lakers at 13, Mavericks at 7, and Houston at 7. I think all three of those teams made some great improvements and had great off seasons. So,
yeah, for sure.
So I definitely see that. guess who's most likely to win Rookie of the Year?
Who do we got?
Kemba.
Yeah. And we'll talk about him when we get into rankings and stuff. But
I still think it's Chet. If Chet stays healthy, I still think it's Chet.
They both, they went up against each other the other night, and they both looked really, really good.
Exactly. So we'll talk about that a little bit after the break. This was a fun one. The biggest steal of the 2023 NBA draft. And I'll let you guess.
The biggest steal of the draft?
Yeah.
I mean, was it one of the Thompson twins?
Cam Whitmore. You remember he fell all the way down.
Yeah, in terms of talent, for sure.
So he was 43%.
Yeah, we talked about how we thought we were going to have the next Governor Whitmore.
Exactly.
But he fell all the way down there. Good pickup for Houston. And, you know, perfect situation, too. They can take their time with him and evaluate him. And there's less pressure on him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. After that came in Keontae George with Utah, 10%. I don't think anybody would have thought that before the summer league stuff, though. They would have been like, you know, he showed out there a little bit. Scoot Henderson, third. Jaime Jaquez in fourth with 10% of that vote. So
I like it.
Yeah. Best defenders list is everything you would imagine, except Bam Adebayo wasn't on there.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy.
Yeah. The most unpredictable season. I think this one's fun. Number one is the 76ers, and I think we all know why.
Yep.
And then Dallas, Oklahoma City, New Orleans, Phoenix, and LA. And I think this list is perfect. So they got that one right.
Sixers with all their whining.
Yeah. I got to turn this one down. It's always too loud for me. So yeah, a lot of cool things. That list is out there of the 50 things. I know there's things, you know, basically Steph Curry got a lot of love as just being a guy who, you know, makes coaches change the most. Who you want the ball in for the last shot of the game. He was that guy. Who's ready for a breakout season. Anthony Edwards was number one, followed by Cade Cunningham.
Yeah.
So that's pretty
good picks
cool.
There.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, best point guards in the league is Steph Curry, they say, and then best at each position. So Curry, Booker, Tatum, Giannis, and Jokic. That's what they put at the best at each positions. And then most underrated player acquisition, Marcus Smart in Memphis. I like that one.
Yeah.
We don't talk so much about, at least I don't talk so much about him leaving Boston and how much that might change them because we get Jrue Holiday there, but I always underestimate how much he will help Memphis. So
Yeah, no, we talked about how he's a good leader. He's definitely going to be a good influence in their locker room and on the court. He's a fantastic defender, but he is limited offensively. And I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, he hasn't really gone higher in terms of his individual game. And I think it's a decent sized reason why Boston hasn't had even more success than they've had. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see if a guy like Jrue Holiday can put them over the top. But yeah, Smart's going to be a really good fit for Memphis, and he fits that culture, you know, the whole grit and grind. It's going to be a good match, a good fit, and it'll be fun to watch.
I agree. And then the last one, I just want to say the most improved team of 2023-24 consensus was Oklahoma City Thunder, 30%, which yeah. I don't doubt that. But cool for us, it was Houston, then Dallas, Detroit, and Orlando were all tied at 10%. And J.J. Redick, actually, of all people, gave a sweet shout-out to the Pistons, saying how much he was looking forward to watching the Pistons on League Pass, and how he kind of lost sight of them last year, and how excited he is to watch them this year. So thought that was a cool shout-out from him. He also gave a shout-out to the Pistons' social media. They said they got a great, he's like, they got a great presence. And I agree with that. They definitely do.
Yeah, I do too. And what's great about what you read off just now is you listed all the teams that, you know, have been really, really bad. So that's just, you know, it's good for the league to see these teams all, you know, seemingly doing the right things with their picks and getting better. And, you know, they're all young, so they're going to be fun. They're going to be fun to watch. And like you said, they're going to all be good to check out on League Pass. And yeah, it's an exciting time. It makes the whole start of the regular season that much more entertaining.
For sure. Yeah. That's more parity in the league. We need more, right?
More parity. We're not just talking about LA and New York and all the stars. You know, we're talking about everybody.
All right. And lastly, before we hit the break, obviously some not so great news. Brendan Malone passed away. I'm not sure the exact date on here, but it was announced on October 10th. I see the...
it was yesterday, October 10th.
Okay. So the announcements came out. I don't know if there was anything specific you wanted to say. I don't know.
He's a legendary coach. He's mainly been an assistant coach throughout. In fact, yeah, he was the head coach of the Toronto Raptors very briefly.
Yeah, when they started, actually, he was the very first coach of the Raptors, I believe.
He was also a head coach for the Cleveland Cavaliers. But other than that, he's mainly been an assistant coach. He was a two-time assistant coach with the Pistons. And, you know, I always think back to the Bad Boys days. He was, you know, part of those teams. But then we were talking off air about how he actually came back and finished his career in coaching with the Pistons under Stan Van Gundy. I completely forgot about that. He coached under Van Gundy in Orlando as well, from 2007 to 2012. So, just a great career. And obviously got to see his son win a championship this summer with the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, that was cool. That was very cool.
So Michael Malone.
Golden Nuggets.
Yeah, we've talked all about Michael Malone. We're both huge fans of his. Former Grizz. So there's a connection there too. Just a sad loss, but definitely happy that he was able to see his son not only become a great coach, but then also, you know, obviously win the whole thing. They're a great family. They've done a great job, and he'll definitely be missed.
Yep. Nope. I think you said everything. Yeah. Fantastic legacy leaves behind. And then obviously not just basketball we always talk about, but awesome husband, father, son, grandfather, all that good stuff. So he'll be missed, but his impact will be remembered.
Well said.
All right, so we got some top 60 rankings for the fantasy season on the other side of this break.
Hey, this is Steve from Menace Podman. Scott and I have been having a blast creating our podcast. I can't tell you how much we look forward to recording days and providing amazing NBA content to our listeners every week. It's hard work, but with the right software, it's a lot easier. We use Podcastle to seamlessly edit and create production quality sounding podcasts. Podcastle is now equipped to record audio and video and distribute to all the places podcasts are found. You can find a link directly in the show notes to Podcastle. So if you're a podcaster or future podcaster, go check out Podcastle.
All right, so we're going to get into our top individual top 60 rankings for the fantasy season. But first, I just wanted to touch on real quick. Obviously, like we said, the early preseason games have started earlier this week. If there's any small impressions we had on each of them, I think obviously the big one, the elephant in the room there would be the Wembanyama and Chet Holmgren matchup the other day, which you sent me a text of, you know, Michael Jackson eating his popcorn there, and I was like, that's a perfect thing. It's funny, I made popcorn the other day too, just because you sent me that, so I was craving it. But yeah, we both had the same idea. We were like, hey, we're gonna watch at least the first quarter, right? We got to see what's going on here. And they both just were awesome. Like, absolutely, you couldn't ask for anything more, I don't think.
No. And, you know, you made the comment about, you know, these guys should maybe get down low, you know, but the fact that they can both stretch the floor and, you know, shoot the three, it helps in fantasy. We'll get into that a little bit, but man, it was just a lot of fun to watch. And it wasn't the first time that those two have gone head to head, which is cool, 'cause that could be a potential little rivalry there. That's good for the league. It's
after that headbutt, that might be a pretty solid rivalry. I mean, I don't know if he did not know that he hit him in the face, but that little flex, the flex after he you know, just ran him over, I was like, he's not going to like that.
Yeah, I don't think he knew that he got him in the face like that, but I guess we'll see, you know.
Yeah. And there was a thing, I think even NBA.com put out a picture, and they're like, respect between the rooks. And they give like this little hug, but they don't even look each other in the eyes. I was like, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. I'm ready.
It's gonna be fun.
But yeah, actually another thing too, and I kept complaining, like you said, about them not going down low. I was like, they're taller than half the entire population of the world.
Yeah.
Like, why don't they just, you know, lob it into them and
lob it up there,
just score. And then I was thinking, like, if they do stay out at 3-point line, it probably avoids some foul trouble and things like that as they stretch that way. I don't know. Maybe that's
I mentioned former Spurs player and current broadcaster Sean Elliott. I'm not personally a big fan of his. I think he's kind of a homer. Not kind of. I think he is a homer. but he made the same point that you did about, like, these guys, all they got to do is just lob it up there to Victor. He's going to get it. Just put it right up there. He's going to get it. And he's going to do something with it. So
I thought it was funny
to get him the ball.
And that was funny. They kept saying that they had to learn how to pass to them. Like, they're not passing it high enough.
Exactly. Just get it up there.
It was interesting. But but yeah, no, it's great. I can't wait to watch them, you know, throughout the regular season. And God, please just have them both stay healthy the entire season. That'd be
great. Good point. Real good point.
But yeah, they'll be great to watch. We mentioned Cam Whitmore in the first half of the show there, is in the GM survey about the biggest steal of the draft. He looked great. He looks pretty good.
It helped that our guy Dylan Brooks got tossed.
Yeah.
Real quick. He's very much on brand.
Yeah, he likes.
He called himself Dylan the Villain.
It's kind of, we should get the picture of him with the boxing gloves and then him just like, was it Zach Collins? I don't even remember. Who the heck did he? Or not Zach Collins. I'm going blank.
It was over the summer.
But he punched somebody in this game in the nuts. That's why.
I don't remember who it was.
I don't know why I said Zach Collins, but I'm going blank. It was some. I know who it was. Daniel Tice. That's it.
That's right. Yeah. Yes. Poor Tice.
I'm like some white guy that I can't remember his name that's somewhat irrelevant. But anyways, so yeah, no, that helped. And then just some other guys. I don't even want to say this name, but Ben Simmons. Didn't look bad.
He started.
He
started. He's back. I think they might wind up starting him, which is crazy. I didn't expect it, but, you know, might as well use them if you have them. You know, they're paying them.
Yeah. So another late round guy.
He's had plenty of rest.
we've talked about in the past. Picking
they
him
don't
up
need
again.
To ease him into the lineup. He's had plenty of rest. He needs to get out there and play.
This is true. But yeah, hopefully he's good and doing well. So that would be good for the Nets. Obviously, also with the Nets, Cam Thomas, who's just, what did he score last year? He had like that 40 point games or something.
Yeah, he had a really good stretch. And he's a guy that, like, you know, when they sit their starters, you know, he maximizes his time for sure. But, you know, you can't really count on him if Brooklyn's healthy.
Yep.
He's just a guy to keep in mind, you know, if there are any injuries, he's a real quick waiver wire pickup. You know, just pick him up and see if he gets time. But
yeah, just hold on for a week and then drop him, I guess.
Yeah, if that. But definitely not a guy you want to draft. Not if they're healthy.
Yep. And then you had already mentioned Asar Thompson on the top of the show as well. And he looked great and everything that you said. So that's going to be pretty.
Yeah. If he winds up starting, he's not currently in my pre-rankings yet, but that might change real soon here.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he made mine either, but yeah, that may change. I think he probably moved the most this week out of anybody. You had mentioned while we were off air, Jonathan Kuminga scored a bunch, but you said just who's playing in that game.
Exactly. Nobody for Golden State.
Yep. And I actually didn't pay attention to this one, but Sasha Vezenkov, apparently he had a decent game with Sacramento. I missed that. So
he had a decent game, but then Coach Brown said right after the game that he doesn't know if Vezenkov is going to be part of the rotation at the start of the season or not. So we'll just have to see how it plays out.
Interesting.
He looked good, though.
Yeah. And then Jaren Jackson Jr., Walker Kessler, each had 5 blocks in their first preseason game. So they're just picking up where they left off last year, which is
pretty
cool.
There you go.
And then just because I want to use this drop, we also, during Wemby's debut, we got to see Justin Champagne in the starting lineup.
Champagne. So,
that's all I have to say.
Good call. Yeah. He didn't really do too much. You know, he kind of got overshadowed, but nonetheless, good to see him out there. And there are rumors that Keldon Johnson might be coming off the bench this year. That's interesting. Maybe Jeremy Sohan makes it back into the starting five. We'll have to wait and see.
I think he does. I think we actually talked about that a little bit.
It makes sense.
Yeah. I lost all my faith in Keldon Johnson over the last couple of years. He's not even on my list, even close in my rankings. But Jeremy Sohan is very close. He's right on that edge. So especially if he gets that official starting announcement. But speaking of rankings, I guess maybe people are looking forward to this since we are a fantasy basketball podcast.
Yeah, we have teased it here.
Exactly. Don't worry. As the season gets into it, we will be more fantasy focused as we usually are. But
nope.
So I guess just real quick for me, I just have to put this disclaimer out there about my picks. there's certain people. So this is the way I put my rankings together. And I don't know if other people do some of this stuff, but there's certain teams that I just avoid. And I really don't. I just knock people off and knock people down. They just go out. There's people that I don't like drafting. Like, here's 4 people right here: LaMelo Ball, James Harden, Miles Bridges, and Ben Simmons. I will not draft them. I just don't want to. I just take them out. I just remove them from my rankings. So that makes all of a sudden, with just those 2 caveats that I just mentioned, people will look like they have higher rankings in my rankings than other people do, average ADPs and things like that, just because I move them up by taking people out. There's also people that I take out that I think will go higher than I'm willing to draft them. People like Wembanyama, Giannis, and Cade Cunningham. I love all 3 of those guys, but they're going to go higher than I'm willing to take them. So I usually, and I already did, I just take them out of my top, you know, 30, 40, 50, or wherever they would fall, because I'm not going to get them. Somebody's going to take them before I take them. Almost, you know, 99% of the time, unless something crazy happens.
Yeah, I get that line of thinking. But for me personally, I don't ever take someone off my board. I just more or less move them down. So
sure.
I always like to list them because you never know what can happen and you never know what team you wind up building. And one of those guys could wind up really fitting your team build at a certain point, you know? So if they do fall and they're still there at a point where it's like, okay, well, I've drafted all the other guys that I like, and they're still there, let's go ahead and take one of them and just kind of see what
happens. I guess they just have to fall really far, though, because it would
they would have to fall really far. But what's nice is once you draft a guy that low, you're not tied to him. And so if it turns out that it's a guy that you really had kind of some doubts about, you could take him and then just give him a week or two, see how he looks. And if he sucks, just cut him, pick up someone else, use that spot to stream until you figure out something, you know, long term.
Yep. And then also off air, we talked, and I think you talked about in the past too, you do it too. You group some guys together, similar guys, similar skill sets and things like that.
Yeah.
So if one guy gets drafted, you kind of, you know, kind of not remove everybody, but they definitely move down. They're kind of taken in that spot. So
yeah, when I get into my rankings, I'll talk all about that.
Yeah. So I've got some guys grouped together that I kind of think are similar that obviously they wouldn't all be ranked. Actually, kind of the Holmgren, Wimby, that area, there's a lot of Kessler, Claxton. There's four guys like, you know, that are kind of similar right there.
Yep, same.
That, yeah, kind of get grouped together. And then lastly,
same on mine.
We haven't stressed it enough. Premium on the guards. I will have a group of three guys that I'm not sure how I want to rank them. And if one's a guard and the other two aren't, I just push the guard up to the top almost. I've done that a lot in my ranking. So
yeah, it's a smart move.
So that's there as well. Anyways, without further ado, I don't know how you want to do this, but I guess.
Up to you, man.
You just want to do your top 10. We'll start there. Or top 12. You want to do your top 12. I kind of said we do 60 because that gives us five rounds of 12 team draft. So I think that's a good number.
Yeah. And so when I'm doing my rankings, the top, you know, pretty much 20, 25 guys, I'm not really factoring position too much. I'm just more or less like, these are my top guys. These are the guys that like I'm prioritizing, you know, to begin my team. You know, you're drafting these guys first. So these guys are going to kind of set the tone for the rest of your roster. So I don't really have these guys grouped too much by position. It's pretty much just straight up, you know, value and what I think they're going to do in terms of overall production. So, I've got Nikola Jokic number one, Joel Embiid number two, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander number three, Tyrese Haliburton number four, Jason Tatum number five. At six, I've got Anthony Davis, and I'll get more into that. But, you know, he's a guy that I really like. If he's healthy, obviously, every year we talk all about he's got to stay healthy. But he just has so much upside that I don't like seeing him fall much further than this. At number seven, I have Kevin Durant. Number eight, Stephen Curry. Number nine, Damian Lillard. Number 10, Kyrie Irving. And with those guys, I do kind of have them prioritized because they're guards. I didn't want to bump them any lower. They're great players, but they're also great guards. And that's very, very important, especially to start your draft. Get guards early and often. At number 11, I've got JJJ, Jaren Jackson Jr. And at 12, I have Jimmy Butler, a guy that tends to go a lot lower. But I just think, you know, he's one of the best, most talented players on a per game standpoint. And I like to personally target those high per game type of guys early because, you know, they're the best. And if they go down with an injury, you know, yeah, it sucks, but any guy could go down with an injury at any time. So, you know, I'm not going to pass up on a more talented player just because I think he's that much at risk of getting hurt when like every player is at risk of getting hurt.
Yeah. I think there's certain people I have that I knock down a little bit because of their chance of getting hurt, but not that much. You have to assume, I think, that almost everybody is healthy. That's kind of how you're drafting them, but unless they have a crazy history, but
And also, I should have mentioned, too, that, like, I mainly play in nine-category leagues, so, you know, my rankings are nine-cat, you know.
That's correct. Yeah, mine are nine as well. And I guess I would say as far as top 12, it's not the same order, but it's definitely the same people, pretty much, the majority of it. I've got Jokic at one. I've got Shai at two. Tyrese Haliburton at three. Joel Embiid at 4. Anthony Davis at 5. I think you had him at 6. Yeah. I've got Jason Tatum at 6. Kyrie at 7. Damian Lillard at 8. Steph Curry 9. Kevin Durant 10. And this one, I'm not sure about yet. This one might change. But I've got Bridges up at 11 right now. And then Donovan Mitchell at 12. And I'll just say 13 because Jaren Jackson is where I have at 13. So that's pretty darn close to where you have him as well.
Yeah, for sure. And I love Mikal Bridges too. Like I want to be higher on Mikal Bridges. But you know, I just can't put him over those first 12 that I have. And I have actually bumped him down a little bit. Partly because of the whole situation with Brooklyn and how they're still trying to figure out, you know, how much of a role Ben Simmons is going to have for them.
That's exactly right. Yep.
As the point guard and stuff, I think that might take away some of the usage there with Bridges. But I love Mikal Bridges. We talked all about him all summer about how he has a ton of upside. You know, he's always been super durable. So he's always one of the best guys in terms of totals. But I think he has a lot of per game upside too, because now he really is kind of the alpha of that team. You know, but if Ben Simmons is going to be around and he's going to be handling the ball and stuff, that is going to take away some usage. So that does present some concern for me. And I can't pass up on the other talent, you know, to take him. But yeah, I love Mikal Bridges, and I don't mind him being a first round player. Yeah. I was saying before he was in my first round. I just recently bumped him down. So I have no problem with Bridges being in the top 12.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I think a lot of that we agree on pretty much the group of people. I do, like you mentioned, Jimmy Butler, you had him up. I have him at 17, so I have him a little bit lower. And obviously, these lists are fluid. They change every day. I change my ranks, and I think you update yours. So as the preseason goes through, too, these things are going to move around some more.
Well, but... and plus, you can look at ADP, you know, data and determine guys that are falling. And just if you do enough mock drafts, you can see the guys that are falling a little bit. And it just, you know, it's just a reminder that they are there.
And... I've seen some crazy stuff in some mock drafts that I've done recently. Like I got SGA at 6. Yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure we'll see some crazy stuff next week when we do our next mock. So,
yeah.
We'll talk all about it. So stay tuned for that.
But yeah. And I guess only on the reasoning for some of those people, I like you, Anthony Davis. I think Anthony Davis is amazing and fantastic. And per game wise, I think he's going to be even better than he was last year. So, I have him up high. I think he's just got such a high ceiling. I mean,
yeah.
He could be an MVP, you know, if he wants to be and is able to perform that way.
And if they want him to be.
Exactly. And if they want him to be. I think the other ones, like you had Embiid at 2, and I totally see that. And I guess Embiid 2 is a question of, you know, who's there. Is James Harden there playing? Is he not? I don't know. So we don't know the situation of that team. Jason Tatum, I always have high. Damian Lillard, I think I have a little bit lower than you. I know he's going to get a lot of time, but, and you know, a lot of usage, and his numbers are going to be great, but I just feel like it's just going to drop just a little bit.
Here's the other thing too. These are our rankings, but like, these aren't the guys that we're drafting, you know, for sure. Correct. So like, for example, I have Joel Embiid at number 2, but if I get the number 2 pick, I'm going to have a real hard time not taking SGA.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Not getting that guard. And I'm not going to lie, when I've done mock drafts, I've taken SGA at 2 over Embiid. And, you know, it's tough, but just, you know, the guards drop off so quickly. Whereas with big men, especially now in today's day and age, you know, so many guys have center eligibility. You can work your way around a lot of those stats. You can get them throughout the course of the draft. But the guards, you know, any mock draft that you do, you'll just see that drop off, and then you're scrambling to try to get more steals and assists, and guys that just have the ball in their hands and have that kind of usage, they just they disappear off the draft board. You know,
I've been noticing in my mocks, especially this week, I get this desire to take certain centers and like power forwards in like. I think it's like the 5th round, somewhere in there, 4 through 6 or something like that. and they keep coming up and they keep falling. And I'm like, oh, I like that guy. I like that guy. I like that guy. And then I one mock draft, I did that and I started taking all these big guys in the middle. And then exactly as you said, I was completely screwed on the rest of my guards coming for the rest of the draft. So, I mean, you can find people, some diamonds in the rough, hopefully, but that does not work out that way. But
yeah.
So yeah, anyways, I guess I'll just, we'll keep flipping. I'll go to my next, 13 through, I can't do math right now, 24, 13 through 24. So Jaren Jackson, I said I had at 13. I have Luka at 14. I've seen Luka, I think his ADP right now, isn't it like 2 or 3 or something I've seen? Like he's been way up there. I don't, I guess you'd have to explain that to me, but other than people just like him.
I think people like him, and I think a lot of people are either doing points leagues or they're just going into their nine cat leagues, just saying, I don't care about turnovers. I don't care about free throw percentage, you know, or I'm just that convinced that this is going to be the year where Luka finally takes that turn, you know, and that makes that leap into the top five or whatever. And there you go.
It just seems so high. Seems like a lot of risk there.
You're passing up on more sure thing type of talent.
Yep.
Per game upside.
And a lot of my rankings are usually based on more sure things. But anyways, I've got Booker at 15, Anthony Edwards at 16, Jimmy Butler at 17, Lauri Markkanen at 18, my boy Domas Sabonis at 19, Trae Young at 20, De'Aaron Fox at 21, Van Vliet at 22. You can see how I grouped those guys there. And then Desmond Bane at 23 and Kawhi at 24.
Nice. All right. So I have Donovan Mitchell at 13. I've got Luka also at 14. So we're the same there. I've got Fred VanVleet at 15. I've got Mikal Bridges, 16. I still have James Harden on my list.
Yep. He's a guy I removed out. So
yeah, I've still got him. Obviously, like I said, if I'm drafting, I'm probably not drafting him. You know, I don't think I'm drafting him that high, but I like to keep guys on my list because you never know what can happen. You know, he could get traded today or tomorrow and, you know, all of a sudden he's in a much better situation, or he could be in a worse situation, but either way, I just want to keep his name where I think he has the per game upside. And then he's a guy that I know is going to fall. So as he's falling, he just stays at the top of my list and he's there if and when I want to, you know, take the plunge. So, but I've got him there. I've got Kawhi Leonard at 18. I've got Paul George at 19. All of those guys, I have them where I have them because they've got that per game upside. Yep. They're just the best guys per game based on what they've done previously. And based on like what I think that they're capable of doing, you know, will I draft them when it's said and done? We'll have to see, but I definitely want to keep them there. I think they're the best per game guys. This is the point of my rankings where I do start to kind of prioritize positions. So my next kind of grouping of guys are all big men. They're all guys that I think they're all similarly talented and play similar roles or similar positions that I can just group them all together and just say between these guys, I want to get one or two of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go to 24, but at number 20, I've got Giannis. At number 21, I've got Domas. At 22, I've got Lauri Markkanen. At 23, I've got my boy, Miles Turner.
Mm-hmm.
And at 24, I've got Kat. And actually, Kat's a guy that I think you could definitely argue to be in the top 20 because he's definitely got per game upside based on his history. But he's also got to stay healthy. He's got to make it work next to Gobert and those guys. But he did look good, you know, in their first preseason game. So that's very promising.
I'm going to say with Kat, I see stuff where, and it may be the wrong way to look at it, but I see obviously Anthony Edwards getting all the love and he's going to be even more a part of
that team.
And I think he takes away from Karl-Anthony Towns. But sometimes it's the opposite where a guy getting better makes the other guy better too.
Yeah, so no, it could go both ways. So definitely a guy that I'm watching and definitely a guy that could move up in my list or could even move down a little bit. we'll just have to kind of see. I don't think I'm going to move him down any further than I have him, but he's definitely a guy who can move up because he has the per game upside. No question.
All right. Yeah, you can keep going with yours, I guess. We'll just keep
take it to 36.
Yeah, let's go. Let's do it.
So keeping with the big men here, I've got Nikola Vucevic at number 25. I have Brooke Lopez at 26, which I know is very, very high. Again, when I group these guys, I've got them grouped together. So I'm basically saying I want one or two of this group. You know, at a certain point, I'm going to be taking guards and stuff over these guys. But in terms of how I rank players, I rank them together so that when I'm drafting, I can look at all of them and say, okay, this is the part of my rankings where I need to get one of these guys. I need to get a big guy. Yep. Then I can move down my board a little bit and try to get a guard, you know, but I'd like to group them all together because they all have upside. They've all got per game upside. They can all do things that are going to help any fantasy team. So I've got Brooke Lopez at 26. I've got Nick Claxton at 27. I've got Bam Adebayo at 28. I've got Kristaps Porzingis at 29. So all of those guys, you know, they're all per game guys. They're all guys that like they have their risks, whether it's, you know, injuries or old age or anything, whatever the case may be. But they're all starters. They all have per game upside. They've all had, you know, proven talent. And they're guys that I want to try to prioritize in terms of starting my draft, you know, get a couple big men. Mm-hmm. Those are guys that I all want to get. Then at 30, I have LeBron.
Yep.
At 31, I've got Devin Booker. And, you know, so Booker's a guy that, you know, I don't see him falling this far, but again, I'm just, you know, he's got some holes in his game and he's a guy that, you know, I don't mind drafting him. But I want to make sure I've got all my other bases covered first. I want to make sure I've got a point guard. I want to make sure that I've got a center. I'm not going to take Booker ahead of the guys that I've got ranked ahead of him, if that makes sense.
It does.
At 32, I've got OG Anunoby. He's always been a favorite of mine. At 33, I've got DeMar DeRozan. At 34, I have Anthony Edwards. I realize that I'm a little low on him. I'm still kind of taking a wait and see approach on him. I need to see a couple more really good games from him to bump him up. But up until now, in terms of nine cat, he's had some holes in his game.
Mm-hmm.
I need to kind of see a little bit more before I'm taking him. And then at 35, I've got LaMelo Ball, and it's the same thing with him. He, you know, we're waiting for him to make that jump, but he's got to prove, you know, in terms of nine cat, he's got to prove that he has that efficiency to put him, you know, in that next level. And at number 36, I've got DeJounte Murray. This is actually kind of a clump of guards for me right now. And these are all guys that I think are going to be high usage guys, but I do have concerns about their efficiency. So, you know, I'm concerned about turnovers. I'm concerned about percentages. So they're guys that I value. They're guys that I want to prioritize, but just not ahead of the guys that I think have a higher per game upside because their games are more fantasy friendly. They're more nine cat friendly.
Yeah. No, I understand all those. My 24 through 36 gets a little sketchy in the middle here, but I've got Kawhi. Hang on. Did I finish with Kawhi at 24? There we go. Paul George at 25, Jalen Brunson and Darius Garland, 26, 27. Again, putting the premium on the guards, and I kind of group those two guys together. I think Brunson and Garland are kind of similar. And this is where it gets a little crazy, and many people may not agree with this, but I've got Bam Adebayo, Walker Kessler, Chet Holmgren, and Nick Claxton at 28, 29, 30, and 31. Mainly because I want one of those guys. I love Walker Kessler. Yeah. I love Chet Holmgren. I love Bam Adebayo, and Nick Claxton is the bottom of that because he keeps putting up numbers and per game fantasy friendly stuff every year, the last couple of years. But for some odd reason, he's just not the sexy pick at all. He just doesn't look like he's going to be able to maintain it. But he's been doing it. So he's at the bottom there. I'd probably take one of those other three above them though. But Walker Kessler, you look at ADPs, he's probably around 50. So that's really high. Chet Holmgren is probably the same thing, probably down at 50, 55, maybe even further. And then you also notice I don't have Wemby on here because I mean, he would go right in that group, though. So I know in my head he's right there. So all five of those guys, I want one of them. If Wemby falls to 30, cool, I'll take him. But we'll see what happens there. Then I got LeBron at 32. I think you had him at 30, so that's very similar. I got DeJounte at 33, similar. Then this is one we go opposite, which we talked about. I have Karl Anthony Towns at 34. I think I am buying into the Anthony Edwards hype, so I'm thinking he takes a little bit away from Towns. Yeah. And I also, I feel like I've talked about it in the past. I don't really like Karl Anthony Towns. Doesn't seem to show up all the time, and it bothers me a little bit.
Great point. Yeah, no, it bothers me too.
I love him. I like him. I see him on social media. I see him talking. I see his interviews. He's a really nice, positive guy. I love him.
Yes,
but I just want some more intensity out of him. That's all.
He's never won.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know it's fantasy, but, you know, that stands out.
Yep. And then I got Jamal Murray at 35. Again, pushing guards up a little bit. And then OG at 36. So a little bit lower than you. But like you said, just a solid guy. Can't get enough.
Not much lower. I have him at 32. So much right around the same.
Cool. Yeah. And then, I guess I'll just continue through here. I've got Pascal Siakam right after him, kind of grouping those guys together. I don't want every single Raptor on my team, so one or the other if they fall there.
Yeah.
Porzingis at 38. Again, he's got I mean, he could be maybe I shouldn't even say this, but he could be top 20 easy, maybe 15 if he has an amazing season like he could. But I think with all those weapons there, I just, you know, I don't think that the numbers add up to as high as they possibly could.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point.
Then I got Vucevic at 39. I got Cam Johnson at 40, which I'm wrestling with a little bit here.
It's a little high, but it's not insane.
It's a little high. I just feel like he is the number two guy there, right? So I don't know. That's all I can say
before
about that.
Before the Ben Simmons thing, I thought for sure, but
yeah. But yeah, that's I made these. I haven't tweaked these after seeing Ben Simmons the other day and his numbers, so that may change a little bit as I sit on that. But we'll see. I've got Jrue Holiday at 41, Evan Mobley at 42. I love Evan Mobley in the light too of the Jarrett Allen injury and stuff. I think I've said this a few times, but I think Evan Mobley is better when Jarrett Allen's not out there, and Jarrett Allen's better than Evan Mobley's not on the floor.
Yeah,
it's just my opinion, but maybe some other people's too, but I feel that way. And I like Mobley. It's funny. I love Jared Allen, but I just love Mobley all around a little bit better.
Yeah.
Let's see. Then I got Miles Turner. So way lower than you. I'm at 43, but I know he's your guy. So, Lopez, same. You love Lopez. Got him at 44. Jaylen Brown, 45. Kongwu at 46, Scottie Barnes at 47. I'm still having issues with. I know there's a lot of optimism with him, you know, with no Van Vliet now. So he'll probably stick around there. I can't remember how high I'm going. Let's see, DeMar DeRozan at 48. And I think that's where I stop, right?
Yeah. Right. 36 to 48, right?
There we go.
Okay. I left off at 36. So 37, I've got De'Aaron Fox. At 38, I've got Jrue Holiday. And at 39, I've got Trae Young. So that's kind of the end of my guards pocket there. I've kind of got Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball, DeJounte Murray, De'Aaron Fox, Jrue Holiday, and Trae Young all together. You know, and again, when I'm drafting, I just kind of, I lump those guys together and just say, okay, between that group, I want to try to get one of those guys right here. You know, so whichever one's there, I'll take them, and then I'll move on to the next kind of clump of players. So,
I was going to say, I'm highly optimistic on some of those guys, so that's why I have them much higher. But
yeah,
we'll see.
So my next pocket of guys are big men. And so I've got Victor Wembanyama at 40. I've got Chet Holmgren at 41. And I've got Walker Kessler at 42. So
there we go.
Just like you, we've got them all together. Yep. And like you said, in drafts and stuff, those guys have all been going together. And they'll all be gone probably by this point. So, but I've got them all there. I do have Jarrett Allen and Evan Mobley next to each other at 43 and 44 respectively.
Yep.
I've got Pascal Siakam at 45. And then my next kind of pocket of players are like swing men. So I'll go 46 to 48 here. I've got Desmond Bane, 46. I've got Zach LaVine, 47. And I have Jaylen Brown at 48. Cameron Johnson, like I said, I already mentioned, I have him at 49. So you want me to just take it to 60 here?
Yeah. Yeah, go for it.
All right. So I've got Johnson at 49. This is the next group is kind of like another group of point guards. So I've got Cade Cunningham at 50, which is very kind of optimistic. And also like knowing that he's going earlier in drafts. I'm not even sure that I would take him ahead of like the next group of guys that I'm going to mention, but I've got him here. I've got Darius Garland at 51. I've got Jalen Brunson at 52. Jamal Murray at 53, Chris Paul at 54. So that's kind of my group of point guards. And again, these are guys that are all starters. They're all going to be presumably, you know, high usage guys. You know, obviously with Chris Paul, you know, he's playing next to Steph now, so he's not going to have the ball as much as he's had in the past. But we saw even when he was playing next to James Harden, he was still a fantastic fantasy player. And again, this is 9-cat. So I'm factoring in percentages. Factoring in, you know, efficiency and stuff like that, you know, not turning the ball over as much, you know, I'm valuing that right now. And then my next group of guys are all big men again. So this next group, at number 55, I've got Clint Capella. At 56, I've got DeAndre Ayton. At 57, I have Mitchell Robinson, who's a really good per game guy. He's always hurt. He always falls in drafts, but I always put him here because, again, I'm hunting for that per game upside. That's how I like to draft my teams. At number 58, I've got Jakob Poeltl. And at 59, I've got a personal favorite of mine, Onyeka Okongwu. And he's a guy that, like, of that group, he's the one that I'm most excited to draft because I just love the upside. And he looked pretty good the other night, too, in preseason. He is coming off the bench, it looks like. So we'll have to kind of wait and see what his role is. But yeah, he's definitely just got a ton of upside. He's a personal favorite. Like I said, he's a guy that of that group, he's the one that I tend to pick.
Yeah. Yeah. I have him at 46. I've got him much higher, but exactly what you said. He's got the upside, but I'll see how he's used in preseason and what he's doing.
And then my 60th and final one that we're going to talk about here is Bradley Beal. But this is another group. If you don't mind, I'm going to go down to 64 just because I've got, this is a group of guards. I want to mention all these guys because they're they're so close together. I really don't have a huge preference on who goes 60, who goes 61, 62, 63, or 64. So I've got Bradley Beal. I've got Tyrese Maxey at 61. I've got Derek White at 62, Jalen Williams at 63, and Devin Vassell at 64. I like all of those guys. And actually, honestly, man, like Beal, I have the highest, but he's honestly probably the least exciting to me. And we've talked about that situation he's in now with Phoenix. He's had a couple down years already coming off of the Wizards. And now he's, you know, easily a third option behind Booker and Durant. So I'm not real excited to draft him. Whereas a guy like Maxey, especially if Harden doesn't wind up playing, and if he's going to sit out, I'm bumping Maxey up, you know, probably even higher than this. I'm probably bumping him up to like the 50 range where I had some of those other guys.
We'll get into my last 12, but he's at 50 for me right now.
Oh yeah. Listen, man, yeah, the sky's the limit with him. And he looked really good the other night, too. So Derek White, I was higher on before the Jrue Holiday trade. But I still really like his game. He's still a very good 9-cat friendly guy. You know, he's got a lot of per-game value still, even playing off the ball. He does so much defensively. We talked all about him. And Jalen Williams, I was really high on him last year. He was kind of like one of my sleeper picks. And I love his game. And even though OKC is going to presumably be a lot better and a lot deeper this year, he's still a guy that I really like to, you know, draft him in the middle rounds. And he's a guy that can fit on any team because of his skill set. And I'll say the same thing about Vassell. Same thing.
You stole a lot of my thunder here.
Sorry.
It's
I'll
all
shut
good.
Up now.
That means we're on the same page. I'm going to go a little bit further than the 62 because this is all going to make sense now a little bit. But
yeah.
So, yeah, I'm at 49, Jalen Williams. I got him at 49. Everything you just said. Tyrese Maxey, number 50. Everything you just said. 51, I have Jared Allen. That's where I talked about. I like him a little bit lower than Mobley, so he dropped down for me. That's where I got DeAndre Ayton at 52. I hate his guts, but, man, he's got to put up some sort of numbers when he's the only guy there, right? So he's going to do something. Zach LaVine, I got at 53. I've got Gary Trent Jr. up at 54. I want to see what happens here. How he plays in preseason.
He's always a very good per game guy. I mean, his shooting percentages can kind of be hit or miss, but like he does a lot. He's a very sneaky guy in terms of like overall value. So he's a guy that I love getting him in drafts, but he usually always falls unless you're drafting with a Raptors fan like we did last time.
I was going to say, he's a guy that I don't know what's going to happen with the Raptors. Is Scottie Barnes going to get better?
Right.
Is Gary Trent Jr. going to get better? And Scottie Barnes is going to kind of stay the same. We don't know what's going to happen there.
Who's going to start?
Yep, exactly. So that's there. I got Jeremy
Trent
Grant
did come off the bench for their first game. I just want to point that out. They started Schroeder at the point guard spot. But Trent, regardless of if he starts or comes off the bench, he's a very good player.
Yeah. I just want to take him at 54 if he's not starting. where was that? Jeremy Grant at 55. Obviously, there's got to be some, you know, some more scoring going there in Portland. Somebody's got to do it. Ingram at 56. I've got Şengün at 57. He's like everybody talks about baby Jokic. So he just seems to get better every single year.
A lot of upside.
Too. So I like that there. I got Gobert at 58. CJ McCollum at 59. Devin Vassell at 60, you've mentioned. Mitchell Robinson at 61, who you mentioned. And Clint Capella at 62, who you mentioned. That's where I'll stop, though. But, yeah, I've got Bradley Beal a little bit lower because I just don't know how he's going to work out there.
I totally get that because, you know, he's obviously a very good player. And in the past, he's been really good. So he does technically have per game value or even upside, but in his situation he really doesn't. So he's a guy that, even though I've got him at 60, you know, when it comes time to draft, I'm not passing up on Maxey or even like Derek White or Jalen Williams to take Beal, you know, but we'll see
for sure. Well, I think that does it.
And again, these rinks aren't set in stone.
Oh, yeah. No, they're fluid, man. They change.
Very fluid.
Every minute of the day, it feels like. But yeah, I think that does it for us. It was a nice, long, information-packed episode.
A little bit longer than we anticipated, but
yeah. Hopefully everybody enjoyed it, as usual. And I definitely knew I went long because my family was yelling at me down there saying it's dinner time. So it's time to cut this thing off. And we thank everybody for listening to Menace Podman, of course, every week. Look forward to, next week will be Mock Draft 2.0. And then I don't think we'll go through all of our last rankings, but maybe just highlight some of the later round people that we're targeting. And
yeah, I like that.
We've got some good feelings on
these sleepery kind of guys,
exactly
under the radar kind of guys.
Yep. So we'll look at all that stuff next week. But like I said, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you. Hey, it's Scott from Menace Podman, and if you love sports and you're a somewhat low-key gambling degenerate like I am, you should definitely check out Outlier.bet. They have a super easy-to-use platform supported on both mobile and desktop sites, and it really allows you to crunch the numbers and make you get some confidence in the bets that you're making. You can do multiple things on Outlier. You can explore across multiple markets. You can get suggestions and curated picks. You can analyze trends, matchup data, line movement. And my favorite feature, Outlier is integrated with multiple betting sites, so you can seamlessly transfer your picks to automatically fill out your bet slips with just as easy as two clicks. So there's a link directly in the show notes to Outlier. You should check them out. Click on the link, go to the site, sign up, get a free 7-day trial of Outlier, and go win some money.
And Miss Parman.